ask you to take your Bibles this evening and open to Proverbs chapter 4, please. Proverbs chapter 4, specifically verse 20. And if you need a Bible this evening, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you, a black hardcover Bible, and you can find where we'll be reading here in Proverbs 4 on page 933. So I know that many of you folks were praying today for Rose Prater. And Rose had a surgical procedure in which doctors installed a new valve in her heart. And, you know, it's pretty remarkable. They did that without open-heart surgery. They did it kind of like the way you'd do an angiogram. They went in through the femoral artery and fished this valve up in there. And even though they call it a valve replacement, one of the doctors said they don't really replace a valve. They just kind of add a valve. So they just kind of crush the old valve out of the way and slide this new synthetic valve into position and somehow or other get it sutured in place and do all that without opening up the chest cavity. And in fact, it's about a 45-minute procedure, you know, something that used to involve open-heart surgery. And word is that everything went well for Rose. She's in the ICU. Hopefully she'll move tomorrow to a regular room, and then after a few days, Lord willing, she'll be discharged from the hospital, go to a rehab facility for a little while, regain some strength and finish up her healing, and ultimately get back home. And the goal is that she would do so really feeling better than before all of this began, because her heart will be functioning as it should. And this procedure was essential to Rose's well-being. Without this new valve, her heart function would have continued to decline, further diminishing her energy level, potentially affecting the functioning of other organs, and frankly, left untreated, it could ultimately have claimed her life. And it's interesting, my wife and I were there with Rose this morning, and Barb Thompson was there with us, and Rose's son Lowell, and her nephew Ron. And, typically before you have a surgery or something like this, the doctors come parading through, right? And they've got all their the anesthesiologist is there, and this nurse is there, and the surgeon is there, and they walk through and ask many of the same questions and go through the similar confirmations. And during some of that time, it was interesting to me that I think it was the anesthesiologist and the one of the surgical nurses specifically said, you know, this isn't a very lengthy procedure, but it takes a lot of preparation. Now, I have sat with people before surgery dozens and dozens and dozens of times, but I can't remember anybody before ever really emphasizing, but it takes a lot of preparation. And I didn't ask, well, what kind of preparation? I mean, I can imagine maybe what that was. But it was just interesting that both of them used almost the same words. And my wife picked up on that same thing, because as we were walking out, we were thinking, I wonder what the deal is with the extra preparation or the emphasis. I mean, surely any surgery, they prepare, right? I mean, it's not like the doctors walk into the OR and say, well, what are we doing today, right? I mean, it's always preparing. But for whatever reason, that was just something that was specifically in the minds, at least, and maybe there's some unique aspect about this. I'm not sure. But it reminded me of the passage that we're going to be studying tonight. And I want you to take a look here. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27. Solomon here says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." You know, as we read those words there, did you catch kind of what Solomon, kind of how he approaches this? He says, you know, be attentive. Focus on what I'm saying. Realize how important it is that you keep your heart. He tells us to think about, you know, all that that means and how do you live that out? How does that affect your life? And why is this so important? Because out of your heart are the issues of life. And really, that's not unlike what the doctors were saying about Rose today. To ensure the success of the procedure, to keep Rose's heart functioning properly, and ultimately to sustain her life, it would require careful steps of preparation. You know, a methodical, purposeful approach. And that's what our passage is talking about. Keep thy heart with all diligence, with all carefulness. For out of it are the issues of life. Now what we're going to do tonight is just kind of briefly survey these eight verses. But kind of the central theme, the key verse, is that one we just read there, verse 23, about keeping your heart with all diligence, guarding your heart, keeping your heart. And this really is going to form the beginning of a series we'll spend here maybe the next month and a half or so addressing this matter of guarding your heart, of keeping your heart. And we'll spend at least two sessions on this text. So we'll just kind of get started a little bit tonight and then move on to some other passages of Scripture that really draw our attention to this same theme. But just the importance of guarding our hearts, of keeping our hearts, of protecting our hearts. Now, in Rose's case, the doctors were focused, of course, on her physical heart. But here, Solomon's talking about something else, right? He's talking in a spiritual context. So when he says, keep your heart with all diligence, he uses the word heart to refer to the inner life, if you will. He's talking about the life of the soul, what we refer to as the mind, the center of your intellect and your will. And this is a verse that tells us that it is essential to our spiritual health and vitality that we take careful, purposeful steps in order to keep our hearts. So that's what this passage and this key verse are telling us. You need to guard your heart. You need to protect your mind. You need to watch over your soul. With that in mind, the title of the message tonight is Guarding Your Heart. Guarding Your Heart. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we are thankful that when we trust Christ as our Savior, you give us a new heart, as it were. You give us new life, to be sure. And yet we still have that old, vile, carnal nature. And that we so easily drift away. So, Lord, you tell us to keep our hearts with all diligence, to protect them, to recognize that if we allow our hearts to drift, it will affect every aspect of our lives. And I pray as we spend some time tonight and the upcoming Wednesday evenings just considering the important matter of keeping our hearts, pray that you would cause us to be honest with ourselves, and perhaps more than anything else, that's what we need. Our hearts are deceitful. We so easily rationalize. But I pray, Father, that you would use your word tonight and in these weeks ahead to challenge us to honestly consider what's going on in our hearts and to take steps, practical steps, obviously practical steps in dependence on you, to see our hearts warmed to you, drawn closer to you, rather than drifting away. I pray, Father, that you would use your word in a meaningful way in our lives tonight. Help us to be, as Solomon instructs his son, attentive, focused, that we might learn from your word, that we might grow as your spirit ministers its truth to our souls. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me read that key verse one more time. In fact, why don't you say it here with me? We'll say the reference and then we'll say the verse. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Right, that's a verse that if you haven't memorized it already at some point in your Christian experience, that would be a good thing to do. You know, as a continual reminder of the importance of this truth we're going to look at tonight. And let me point out, first of all, that this is a command that God has given us. And he doesn't say, you know, if it works out, maybe it'd be nice to keep your heart. But no, keep your heart with all diligence. He tells us that we have a responsibility to do this. You know, you might say, well, only God can really keep my heart, and I understand what you're saying. But if by that you mean, you know, what's the point in me doing anything because only God can do it? If that's what you mean, you're missing the point, because God does give us a command here. You know, that would be like a farmer who says, only God can make my crops grow. And that would be true, but if he says that and doesn't bother to go out with the tractor and seed the field, if he says that and doesn't bother to go out with the combine to harvest the grain, guess what? No crop. It's not that God's incapable of doing any and all of that, but God in our lives, He undertakes for us, and yet He puts responsibilities on us to walk with Him, to follow His leading, to respond to Him, to obey His commands. And so while it is so that only God ultimately can keep our hearts, He's the one who gives us new hearts, He's the one who works within us, yet at the same time there is a very real responsibility that we have to guard our hearts, to protect our hearts, to keep our hearts, to keep them pure, to keep them close to God. All of those responsibilities do fall to us. We need God's help. We need His grace to do it. But we can't just kind of be neglectful and careless about it. We need to be diligent. We need to be attentive about it. When you became a Christian, you know, God gave you the capacity to love Him. He gave you a heart of trust in Him. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But at the same time, God says, and you need to keep that new heart. You need to keep your heart. You need to guard your heart. The word that's translated keep in our text involves ideas like watching, guarding, preserving, protecting. You know, all of that's just kind of wrapped up in it. That's what we are told to do, to view our hearts like that. We want to protect them from the encroachments of sin. We want to guard them from evil. We want to preserve them in purity and righteousness. We want to keep them close to God. That's what we're told to do. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, God told Samuel that though man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. And so the primary focus of the eye of God, if you will, is fixed first on your heart. And so, folks, your eye as a Christian needs to be fixed there too. You need to guard your heart. Even with all that God has done for you, after all your experience as a Christian, after all your service to Christ, even if you're a missionary, if you're a Christian leader, there still exists in your heart that tendency to pull away from God. And when we read that all we like sheep have gone astray, certainly that applies in a very broad sense to all of humanity, but the fact is even we who are believers still have that sinful nature that has not yet been eradicated from our lives. It will when we're glorified, when we enter in our raised bodies in the presence of God. But for right now, there's still that tendency to drift away. And God says you've got to be paying attention to that. You need to keep your heart close to God. Keep your heart fervent for God. Most of us are familiar with John Bunyan's most famous work, Pilgrim's Progress. Many of you have probably read that book. But Bunyan wrote some other books, and probably the next most familiar one he wrote is a book called Holy War, in which he pictured the soul as a walled city surrounded by enemies. And he talks about the enemies that are outside the city that need to be resisted. But he also talks about traitors who are inside the city who need to be tracked down and exposed. And folks, that's what's involved when you keep your heart. You need to find the traitors on the inside, track them down, expose them, deal with them, cast them out. Keep your heart. The heart of a Christian is like a city that needs to be guarded. Your heart needs constant defending against the enemies on the outside and the traitors inside. That's why God told Solomon to write those words, keep your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Bunyan took his imagery from the world of military conflict. I read a sermon by another preacher who shared an illustration from the world of music that I thought made the point well as well. He says, my father-in-law pursued a career as a concert musician. One of the great privileges of his life was the use of a Stradivarius violin. Now, if you don't know what that means, let's just say that a Stradivarius violin is a really expensive instrument, okay? You know, the premier instrument, I suppose. And this preacher's father-in-law didn't own a Stradivarius. Preacher says, I wish he did, because these things are worth millions of dollars. And he says, you would think that a violin that is worth millions of dollars would keep itself perpetually in tune. But every time my father-in-law took this massively expensive instrument out of the case, the first thing he had to do was tune it. As valuable, as expensive, as finely crafted as that instrument was, it still had a penchant to go out of tune. And you know what, folks? That's what our hearts are like. In the sight of God, our hearts are of great value, far greater value, frankly, than even a Stradivarius violin. It's of more value than the whole world. But its nature is that it constantly, relentlessly goes out of tune. So I need to tune my heart. You need to tune your heart. We need to keep our hearts because out of our hearts are the issues of life. Another way of rendering the last part of that verse would be, out of it flow the springs of life. Now, if you were to go a day or a week or a month or however long with your heart out of tune with God, the music that would come from your life would be discordant. Wouldn't be beautiful. The sound would be ugly. Maybe even offensive to people around you, and most of all, it would be offensive to God. But if you keep your heart in tune, something beautiful comes from it. From it will flow the refreshing spring waters of life. Those flowing issues of life are the things that make life really worth living and that enable us to make a difference in the lives of others. The natural instinct for us is to think that if the circumstances of our lives were different, the springs of life would flow. If I could just, you know, get rid of some of these external problems and issues, you know what? The issues of my life, the flow of my life would be great. It would be exciting. Everything would be good. You know, if I were in a different place, if I had a different job, if I had a different financial situation, if I were in a different relationship, life would just be great. But the Bible teaches us many times that life doesn't flow from the outside in. It flows from the inside out. Love, joy, peace, strength, contentment, all those things, those satisfying elements of life, those things that make a difference in the lives of others, all of those things come from within, from a heart kept in tune with God. The springs of life, if you will, that's not the result of a good job, good health, or ample resources. They come from within, from a heart that is in tune with the heart of God. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you know, you carry your heart with you, so to speak. And if you don't guard your heart, the springs of life will be all blocked up for you. And yours will be a fountain of unhappiness and emptiness, regardless of what your circumstances are. No change of circumstances will ever change this reality, at least for any extended period of time, because it all comes from the heart. So folks, keeping the heart is of huge importance. So that leads to the question of, okay, fine, I'm supposed to keep my heart. What does that mean? How do I do that? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for how out of it are the issues of life. Yeah, it's important, but what do I do? Well, tonight and again next week, I'm going to share just some of the components that the Scripture presents, that this passage presents, steps that we need to take in order to keep our hearts in tune with God. So tonight, we're going to just kind of look at one, although I'll kind of interweave some of the others that we'll talk about more next week. But the first thing is just the matter of watchfulness. I mean, that's really the essence, the force of this command. Keep your heart with all diligence. You need to be watching. You need to be aware. You need to be investigating. If you go back to the beginning of our text, verses 20 and 21, he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You need to give your attention to this matter. You know, we don't just drift through the Christian life. We need to live lives that are purposeful, diligent, watchful, mindful of what's going on, not only outwardly in our lives, though that's an indicator, but what's going on in our hearts, because that's where it all begins. So Solomon is talking about a concentrated focus on the matters of the heart. Someone has said the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart, right? That's where everything comes from. If you're going to live victoriously, it's because your heart's in tune with God. If you're going to live a heart of discouragement, disappointment, failure before God, it's because the first thing that happened is you were drifting from God and you didn't keep your heart. You didn't protect your heart. You didn't guard your heart. Jesus said to His disciples, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Resisting temptation begins with watchfulness. In 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul said to Timothy, "Take heed unto thyself. Watch yourself." A wise Christian studies the Bible and he studies his or her own heart. You know, that's one of the amazing things what the Bible does is it reveals to us God. It does reveal to us the world in which we live, but it also reveals to us the nature of who we are and how we can relate to God and where the struggles will be and what we need to do. It teaches us about ourselves. The Bible gives us examples of things to be watchful about, but it teaches us very explicitly that we need to take heed. We need to watch ourselves. We need to keep our hearts. And you know, the more we study the Bible and examine our own hearts, we get a better understanding of those things that we struggle with. And no one is in a better position to evaluate your life than you. I mean, God, first of all, but you know, your spouse, your neighbor, your friend, me if I'm your pastor, or you know, if you're from another church, your pastor. I mean, we can observe things outwardly, right? God sees the heart, and the fact is through the Word of God and by examining your own heart, God will show you where those issues are. But you've got to be watching for yourself. Now, just because no one has come up to you and said, "Brother, I think you're struggling spiritually," you know, maybe one of us should, okay? But I mean, that you know what's going on the inside. We can all dress things up outwardly, but we've got to be honest about what's going on in our heart. Think about when you're driving your car, okay? On the dashboard in front of you, there are a bunch of different indications. And some of those indications we are very mindful of all the time, right? The speedometer. Some of you maybe aren't as mindful of that as you ought to be, but I mean, it's right there in front of us. Probably the fuel gauge, we're pretty mindful of that. You know, if it's getting low, we're paying attention. But then there are other indications. There's the high temperature warning, the check engine light, the oil pressure alarm lights. There's these different things that we're pretty much oblivious to much of the time, really. You know, as long as everything is okay, we're kind of oblivious to them, but nonetheless, those are very important things. And he is unwise who is not mindful, is not watchful, when there are alarms and alerts and warnings on the dashboard. And this has kind of taken on an application in the context of business. And when I was in the Navy, you know, all kinds of reports had a dashboard thing, you know, and it was just kind of the key essential things. So if you were, you know, you could send a 50-page report, but you'd send like a one-page dashboard, which was just kind of focused on the high points that were indicative of other things that were to come. And you know, on the dashboard in your car, it shows you that there's a problem. You may not be able to diagnose all the details of the problem, but you see the problems that are there. It's there to alert you. And we need to recognize that, you know, God brings to our attention those dashboard indications in our lives, and we need to be looking for them. You know, what would a dashboard for your heart look like? I suppose there might be some red lights and some green lights, right? Some things that are a problem, some things that are encouraging. And the red lights would be impulses in your soul that have the tendency to draw you away from God. So when you have that sense of fear and pride and envy and self-pity, resentment, anger, frustration, especially maybe frustrated thoughts towards God, maybe there's a coldness in your worship, maybe there's a lack of desire for the Word of God, there, you know, whatever they may be, those are warning lights that, you know what, you're not keeping your heart. Your heart is drifting. Your heart is not drawn close to God like it ought be. You know, and those are just a few of you. You can make up your own list of examples because, you know, the Scripture doesn't say, "Dave, keep Don's heart with all diligence." It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Keep your own heart. And no one knows what's on the inside of you better than you, except for God. You know, no one knows. And you know what the warning lights are. You know what alarms are going off, if you're honest. if you're willing to watch, if you're willing to look, if you're willing to pay attention, you know, and have a little bit of a sense of, let's investigate this, let's think about this, let's be attentive to this. God has a way of revealing to you the struggles of your own soul. And you know, one of, I think, our great problems as Christians, and this has probably always been true, you know, I don't want to hang everything on contemporary American Christianity, I don't think it's anything new, is we tend to drift through life without really being diligent about it. You just kind of go through the flow, and things are mostly okay. You know, I'm going to church and reading the scripture some, and you know, I don't use profanity, and I haven't stolen anything that I can think of recently. And, you know, I mean, you know, we might just kind of, so we just kind of drift along, feel like, yeah, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, okay, you know, and we just go along through life. Rather than stepping back and saying, God, would you show me? You know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Lord says, I, the Lord, try the heart. You know, I know the heart. I try the reins. And we need to say, God, you know, show me. You know, light up that dashboard if need be and help me to see, you know, where I'm really at and what steps I really need to take. And help me to be honest about that. One theologian said, for the Christian to keep his heart means for him to pay close attention to the direction in which his affections are moving, to discover whether the things of the world are gaining a firmer and fuller hold over him, or whether they are increasingly losing their charm for him. And that was written more than 100 years ago. So you need to watch the direction in which things are moving in your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, with all attentiveness, with all watchfulness. With sin, always begins in the heart. And it's a little bit like if you had a large stone rolling down a hill. If you see it as it first begins to move and stop, you can stop it, okay. But once that thing starts picking up speed and it's going fast, you know, all that's going to come is going to be injury and failure when you try to stop it. And we need to be honest enough to see those inclinations of heart, those tendencies where we are drifting from God, even if nobody else can see Him, even if they haven't manifested themselves outwardly yet, okay? But out of the heart, that's where come the issues of life. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I mean, things eventually, the heart eventually comes out, but it's first here. And we need to try and be attentive to those things, watchful. Keep your heart with all diligence. Watch for the first flicker of a red light on the dashboard. You know, anytime you hear the story of a Christian whose life has gone down the road of some sort of outward significant moral failure or collapse or abandonment of the things of God, you can be sure of one thing. That didn't just happen yesterday. That's something that began long ago. And the warning signs were there had the person been willing to be honest about it. And they could have been addressed early on before the rock really got rolling. And folks, God calls us to be mindful of those tendencies early on. And that coolness that comes that ultimately leads to making choices that we might have said, I would never do that. We've got to keep our hearts, be mindful of the wavering from the things of God. Verse 24 through 27 says, put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight ahead before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left hand, remove thy foot from evil. I mean, those matters of the heart eventually lead to outward things. And we really got to deal with those outward things, but far better to deal with everything in the heart first. So basically what Solomon is saying is that when you see the warning light of sin and a tendency towards departure from God, you've got to deal with it right now. Address it while it's still a thought. And if it leads to the outward, if your foot has already turned to the right or to the left, or your eyes are off gazing on, you know, a different direction from the things of God, confess your sin, repent, and by God's grace, get rid of the trash. And we'll just spend an evening just talking about the importance of getting rid of the trash in our life. Things that we fill our souls with that just distract us and take us away from God. But watchfulness means really calling things as they are, being honest about them, humbly admitting your need and looking to Christ for grace, and growth. You know, folks, if we're cavalier and proud, then Jeremiah's words about the heart being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it, you know, that will rule the day. And we'll easily rationalize our sinful conduct and attitudes and words. But if your desire is to have a heart after God's own heart, and that's one of the subjects we want to give up some time to in this series as well. You know, what was it about David that God would say, here's a man after God's own heart? I mean, he was an adulterer. He conspired to murder Uriah. He numbered the people against God's direct instructions, and 70,000 people died because of it. So, I mean, it wasn't that David was pristine in his conduct, and yet God says, here's a man after God's own heart. What was it about David that made God say that? You know, how should we be living such that God would see that in us? Because He does see the heart. He does know the heart. If you were driving down the road and your car's engine started making an unusual noise, you began losing power, a couple of red lights come on your dashboard, most of us, maybe not everybody, but most of us would pull over. Right? We'd say, something's not right here. If you're mechanically inclined, maybe you'd go open the hood. Maybe there's some wisps of steam or smoke or something coming out. You know, you probably wouldn't just jump back in and say, let's see how fast we can make this guy go. You might call for help. You know, you try to deal with it. You deal with the problem. And yet in our Christian lives, sometimes, you know, things are broken. Things are thumping and making a noise, and the lights are lighting up, and there's these indications of a problem. And we just kind of blindly go along and do nothing. And our text says, you know what? Keep your heart with all diligence. Be watchful. As you see those indications, as you feel your heart being cooled to the things of God, you've got to address it. Come to God at that point. Confess. Repent. Ask God for the grace, the growth, the help. To draw you back to Himself, you need to do something. You're drifting away when the signs are there, folks. That's time to get alone with God and be honest with Him. And I would suggest that it's also time to get together with another believer that you trust and tell him or her the warning lights that you're seeing in your life. Pray together. Keep each other accountable. Encourage one another in a Godward way. God commands us to be watchful, to be mindful, to be aware of the things that are happening in our hearts, and in particular those areas where we're drifting away from God, and to bring them to God and deal with them and take those steps. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, I'm going to wrap this up for tonight, but we'll come back here again next week and just really kind of think through a little bit more of, so if I'm going to keep my heart, what does that mean? But for this week, let me challenge you in particular, let's exercise some watchfulness. Let's look at the dashboard. Let's spend some time and say, Lord, you know my heart. You try the reins. Show me. You know, reveal to me those things that maybe I'm blinded to, that I have calloused myself to, that I have ignored for so long. I knew they were there, but I just kept brushing them aside, and my conscience has just kind of been seared on this matter, and I've kind of let it go, and bring those things before God. Maybe share them with somebody else, encourage each other, help each other. Those are the first steps to keeping our heart with all diligence. Father, we are...